Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here, where it matters.
Hello and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to keep you up to date with all the news you should know about. Officials say to watch the ice this week, especially on rivers, streams, and creeks. And we discuss campus safety and active shooter responses in the latest News Voices. It's Tuesday, February 10th. Let's get into it. Now, before we talk about frozen rivers, let's check in on some Pennsylvania politics. Republican gubernatorial candidate Stacey Garrity says she would cooperate with President Donald Trump's administration in running Pennsylvania's elections. As Jackson White reports for WVIA, Garrity's comments come after Trump called for Republicans to, quote, nationalize elections.
Garrity says she would welcome federal efforts to help states run their elections.
I would work with the Trump administration, obviously, because we need to turn our state around.
Garrity is the state treasurer, and she's running for governor as a Republican. She says she supports pending efforts in Congress to require every voter show identification before they cast a ballot. She's joined Republicans in sowing doubts about the results of the 2020 election, though she has since either walked back or downplayed her skepticism. Nationalizing elections violates the U.S. Constitution. Basically, states have the authority over their elections. Garrity would face incumbent Governor Josh Shapiro. He says he would combat any of Trump's efforts to seize control of Pennsylvania's elections. In Harrisburg, I'm Jackson White.
Thanks to Jackson White for that story. All right, now let's head out on the ice. Actually, scratch that. The Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission wants people to stay off of icy rivers, streams, and creeks. That's because water still flows under the ice and can sweep victims away. WVIA's Kat Bolas has more on the dangers of the unsafe and unstable ice.
Tim Schaefer is executive director of the Fish and Boat Commission. He said that much of the state's flowing waters have not frozen over in a long time.
Winter won't last forever. And as those ice conditions start to deteriorate, you know, really use your best judgment.
Schaefer said the thickness of the ice really varies on rivers, and so does the depth of the water.
And if you fall through the ice, you will be swept away underneath and you will not make it out.
The commission recommends that ice be at least 4 inches thick on lakes and ponds for ice fishing or other related ice activities.
If you do go out on a lake or a pond, we remind people always wear a life jacket or a float coat. That will give you some buoyancy if you would go through the ice, and never go out on the ice alone.
According to the National Weather Service, the major rivers in Pennsylvania are above 80% frozen. Jim Brewster from the Weather Service echoed the Boat Commission's safety recommendations. He says, especially as temperatures gradually warm up. This weekend, temperatures are expected to hit the mid-30s. I'm Kat Bolas, WVIA News.
Thanks, Kat. Find more on this at WVIA.org. Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
I'm Boris Krawchenyuk with WVIA News. Thanks for listening to WVIA Radio. Read more about some of the stories you hear at our website, wvia.org/news. We appreciate your support because we report to you.
Welcome back. Now it's time for News Voices. This week, I sat down with WVIA education reporter Sarah Hofius-Hall to talk about how colleges in our region are working on their response in an active shooter situation. Here's more. You're listening to WVIA Radio. I'm Sarah Cinto, and this is News Voices. When a school shooting happens, it echoes in the hallways of schools across the country. Teachers, administrators, and parents are often left wondering what they can do to make their schools safer. After the shooting at Brown University in December, WVIA's Sarah Hofius Hall reports that colleges across Northeast Pennsylvania have been evaluating their security and response to an active shooter situation. She even attended an active shooter training at Commonwealth University's Bloomsburg campus. She joins me now to talk about this a bit more. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
So I do want to caution our listeners before we get started that this can be a pretty heavy topic. So if you're listening on the radio, we'll be talking about this for about 4 minutes. Sarah, what did you observe during this training at Bloomsburg?
There were officers from throughout the region at Bloomsburg for this training. It was at the Bakeless Center for Humanities on campus. And as part of the training, the officers were responding to an active shooter, on the first floor of that building.
Okay, so what were some of the things that they were working on or drilling? Was there anything in particular that they were trying to improve?
So at a school like Bloomsburg, and really a lot of colleges in our area, if there is some kind of emergency, there will be officers from throughout the region who have to respond. So that means that those officers need to be on the same page. They need to know how to respond, how to kind of work together. So they were practicing that. And, I've attended these active shooter trainings before, and it does not get easier. Just the sound of bullets in a school hallway, in a classroom, hearing people cry, even though, they're acting, it is so eerie.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of other response in other colleges, what are the other colleges in our region that you spoke to doing to improve their responses as well?
All of the colleges in our region routinely look over their safety plans, see what needs to be improved. But the shooting at Brown really made them stop and think. Like, is there anything that we can learn from this? What can we do better? Is there any way, do we need to add more cameras? Do we need to lock down a building more? So they're all looking at that.
Mm-hmm. Are there any common threads that you found between the schools and their efforts? I noticed a lot of, in your reporting, there was a lot of grants for more lighting and better communication with students. What other things did you notice?
A lot of the schools are scheduling more training with students and, faculty members, staff, just to make sure everyone is on the same page. They are looking for grants for lighting, any other safety features. And they're also making sure that their own campus officers and officers from the community are able to know how to respond and have the proper training.
Mm-hmm. So we might look at this, and you mentioned this before, that it never gets any easier to experience this kind of training, even though it is a scenario, it's not actually happening. So we might look at this and be shocked that the students have to think about this so much. But this current generation of college students, they've been living through this for years now.
Yeah. And some of the trainings involve, teachers. I remember being at a training in the Scranton School District a few years ago, and they had the teachers trying to barricade doors as they heard gunshots in the hallway. And those cries, those were like real cries from teachers who are so scared.
Mm-hmm. And as a parent yourself, what goes through your mind when you experience these types of trainings for these hypothetical situations?
Oh, it's terrifying. But it's also good to know that our schools, our colleges are taking this very seriously and doing everything they can on their part to keep our kids safe.
Sarah, thank you so much for being here and for your reporting on this very important topic.
Thanks for having me.
All right, I hope you're feeling up to date and ready for the rest of the day. Find more stories, as always, at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for joining me today. Remember, if you want to stay up to date, make sure you subscribe and listen every weekday wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.